Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
And the title is called Take a Load Off. And I know that's kind of an odd term. It's a simple term. I don't know if it's a Southern slang or if it's all over the United States, but I know we use it a lot around here when growing up. But basically, that's just what we say to people when we want them to seek and to rest a while. Now, you know, we also use that, I guess, when people are visiting. You know, they might come in to visit, and we say, well, take a load off and talk to me. So I've heard that a lot, too. But this is basically talking about the draining life that we go through as human beings and the stuff that we go through with our families and relationships and work or just trying to survive, because that can take a big toll on us. And, you know, at times we just need to get a break. We just need to get away, whether it's from our kids, our spouses, because we can get on each other's nerves living together, co-workers, or just anything that basically has you on edge, kind of has you stressed out. We need to lighten our load, is what we say. Now, we can get physically wore down. These bodies need, you know, time to rejuvenate, whether it's, you know, put some food in us, get some sleep, and let our bodies catch up. Our minds can be mentally wore down. We can just physically feel like we're losing it. We just can't think straight. And I think this is one of the most important. We can get spiritually wore down as well. And so we really need to concentrate on that. But that is where we find ourselves maybe separated from God. You know, we get relaxed in our reading and our... Yep. Am I cutting in and out? Yeah, maybe. Let's try this. Did you hear you the other night, didn't you? Maybe I'm on the wrong side blocking the signal. But like I said, it is where we can kind of separate ourselves from God, whether it's intentional or unintentional, and we just really need to be careful of that. We tend to want to do things in our own strength instead of waiting for His strength and His guidance and leadership. So we simply need to just take a load off. Now, the scripture we're going to be talking about today is out of Matthew. You guys are going to know this. You've heard it probably your whole life, but it's Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. And while you're looking that up, let me say this. How do we take a load off? Where do we go to rest? Or maybe to recharge or to relax, you know, physically, mentally, or spiritually? And let me say this. I think that most times we need to relax or recharge probably two or all of those at the same time, do we not? Usually when we need our body to relax and rest, our mind needs to rest too. And also we can need to rest spiritually. But where do we go to maybe to relax? Now, some people go to the beach. My family loves the beach. They drag me there every year. I can't, it's just not my cup of tea. I'm sorry. I don't see sitting out there baking in the sun. You know, you get the salt water taste in your mouth. You can't get it out. You know, you stick to the sheets at night because you can't wash off all the sunscreen. You know, so it's just really aggravating to me. But they love it, so I go and try to be the good little husband, grandfather, whatever you want to say. But some people go to movies. I like to go to movies by myself. People think that's weird. I don't care. I love to go by myself because I can get my popcorn, my Coke, and I can tune in. I don't have nobody rubbing elbows with me or trying to talk to me during the film. I can concentrate on that film, and that's just what I like to do. So a lot of times when we go to the beach, I'll go to the movies at least one day by myself just to get away and just to relax, because that's what I like to do. Some people like to go to concerts, you know, sporting events, you know, whatever it takes to take your mind off of everything that is stressing you out and allowing you to just let go and just to take a load off for that time being, then basically it's okay. Let me tell you this little story real quick. This is a story about a man who was in a small town. He went to a small town doctor, and he went to this doctor. And I'm cutting out again, but anyway, I don't know what to do about it. He said, Doc, I don't feel right. I said, I don't know what's going on. He said, I just feel like I've got this dark cloud over me all the time. I don't know how to be happy. I'm depressed. You know, I'm just on edge all the time. I don't know how to be happy, like I said. And the doctor, he kind of got his eyes big, and he said, I've got just the thing for you. He said, what I want you to do is to go down to the local circus. There's a clown down there by the name of Bobo. And said, everybody that goes to see Bobo the clown leaves there with big smiles on their face. They just feel like they're full of joy and they're happy and everything. Well, then the man kind of hung his head. And the doctor said, well, what's wrong? And the man looked up at him and he said, I'm Bobo the clown. So, you know, sometimes we might be good at ministering to others and taking care of their needs, but we might not know how to take care of our own or to get the help we need to be ministered to. And I say that really because we really need to be in prayer for our pastors and people that are in the ministerial field, because, you know, sometimes there might not be somebody there to minister to them when they need it, but they're always busy taking care of us. So we need to keep them in our prayers all the time. But like I was asking, where can we go to take a load off? And I think we really have to be careful in putting our hope of peace and rest in a place or a thing. I say that because I know people that ride motorcycles. They love motorcycles. And I had a motorcycle. It's great. I don't have any more. Got rid of it. But they love motorcycle riding so much that they will come home from work and go for a ride pretty much every afternoon just to unwind and relax. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with riding bikes if you got the time to do it. But there are a lot of dangers involved or associated with riding a motorcycle, isn't it? But there's also dangers with anything else that we might associate with, you know, we might be clinging on to that is an earthly possession or whatever, putting our hope of peace in a thing or a place. You know, there's dangers in that too. So we have to really be careful where we go to get our rest and our peace. And saying all that, let's stand up and let's read our scripture for this morning. This is Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together and just worship in your house, Lord. I just pray that every word I speak today would be what you want spoke, and I pray that you would prepare each heart to hear what you want them to hear, Father. There is a message that you have for us. Help us to see it, Lord. Help us to really just to keep our eyes upon Jesus and just to strive to be more like him every day, Lord, that we can just minister to the people around us. Lord, there's so many people that are hurting, so many things that are going on today, and we just pray that you would prepare us ahead of time to be ready to step in and to minister to those around us. We pray, as always, that there would be somebody, that we would always have someone that could help us or to minister to us, and that nobody would be out there alone, Father. Help us none to be separated from the body, Lord, because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to separate us so he can attack on the weak, Lord, and help us to always be strong and to be doing the things that you want us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. The first thing I want to talk to you about is to be still. Okay, I think that's the one thing that we really need to learn to do as Christians is to be still. You know, and I say that because I think a lot of times we get in our head that we have to go somewhere to see Jesus. You know, he says, come to me. Well, where are we going? Well, really, you're not going anywhere. You're just going to be still. And if we can learn to be still, then what happens? Well, we force ourselves to be still and to quieten our minds. What happens? We fall asleep, right? No, it's usually what happens with me, but we don't, I guess we drive out the worries of the world when we can quiet our mind and we can be still. We listen, we learn, we can focus. He says to come to me all who are weary and burdened. And if you're tired and beaten down from life or simply, you know, simply laying down is not going to do it, is it? When, you know, I the week that Dad passed, they gave me the rest of the week off from work, and it wasn't restful. You know, I wasn't able to really get rest. My mind was going, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years of his life, you know, and all the things we've been through. I was going over, you know, all of the memories, you know, from my childhood and stuff. And even though I was happy that he wasn't suffering anymore, that, you know, he was finally at peace, I missed him, you know, and it was just, it was hard. And you know, with Miss Martha, you know, losing her son and a brother in such a short period of time, you know, I could imagine how your mind was just like it was in a blender. Yeah, and we have to keep our eyes on Christ, you know. And so many other people lost so many. Linda and the Blackburns lost. I mean, there was so many losses in this time frame, you know. It was hard on a lot of people and really overwhelming. Or you didn't even have to have a loss. That some of us might have gone through some major events in our life that have really stressed us out and really make us feel overwhelmed and underprepared to handle life. But God said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is the wonderful thing. All throughout Scripture, God shows us that He provides for His people. He will take care of us. You know, I look back at the story in 1 Kings about Elijah and him being ministered to by the raven. Now, we know Elijah was a godly prophet, you know, and he really loved the Lord and was about doing the Lord's will. But in doing the Lord's will, that found him at odds with some very powerful people, did it not? So he really had to count on God to not only keep him alive, but to take care of his needs as well. And God will. He will always take care of our needs. The second thing I want to talk to you about is very simple. Let it go. And I know the rest of the day some of you are going to be singing the Disney song, and I'm sorry, but let it go, let it go. I mean, we have to let it go. And basically, the fact is that Elijah couldn't stay next to that brook and be ministered to by the raven the rest of his life, could he? Why? Because he had work to do. God needed him to get back in the game. So he needed a little prodding. The brook finally dried up, so he had to move on. Sometimes we need a little prodding too, do we not? But that's okay. As long as we're willing, God is going to make us able. In the Scripture, it talks about the yoke. And if we really look at this yoke, we need to first realize that the yoke is what? It's not made for one, it's made for two. And we need to realize that, you know, if two animals are designed to share the load, then what? It's going to be easier on each animal, is it not? So Jesus was using this analogy because obviously the Israelites back then would have been pretty major farmers, you know, to survive. So it was something that they could understand. But he also used this because they were under an impossible load. Okay, they were trying to carry an impossible load by trying to fulfill the Jewish law and the standards that the Jewish religious leaders of the time were trying to set for them and impose upon them. So he was really trying to use this fact of carrying an impossible burden to make the point that religion was not going to get you anywhere. It was not going to get you anywhere. So he says in 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, the yoke was made for two so that what they could do was they would take an older, more experienced animal and pair it with a younger, inexperienced animal. And the older animal would what? It would teach the younger one where to go, how to, all the commands. Just follow me is basically what it was saying. Help me pull the load, but follow me is what he was trying to tell the other one. And it would learn what its job was, and that was to share the load. Now, we can be under heavy loads, like I said a while ago, all throughout life through relationships and work. And we can be under these impossible loads trying to live up to an impossible standard ourselves, can we not? You know, others might set these standards for us. We might set them for ourselves. We just don't know. But Jesus used the yoke to show that they couldn't live up to this impossible standard, and they can't live up to God's standard on their own either. You know, and we can't. So we either carry that heavy burden ourselves, or we share it with Jesus, do we not? Because when you stand before the Lord one day, that sin debt will be paid for, whether it's through your paying for it or through Jesus' paying for it. So are you going to share the load, or are you going to try to take it all on yourself? That's one thing that we really need to ask ourselves. He says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus was really showing them the contrast between himself and the religious leaders of the day, was it not? Because they were arrogant. They wanted power. They wanted everybody to be under their control. So what Jesus was humble, he was meek. You know, he had humility. You know, so he was really showing them the difference between, do you really want to go their way or do you want to go my way? And so, are you wanting to share the load with me, or are you wanting to share this impossible load with the religious leaders? Now, the impossible law nor the religious leaders could get anybody to heaven, could they? It's only through the perfection of Christ that he did live up to God's impossible standards and made it possible for those that would believe in his death, burial, resurrection to basically share that load with him and get to heaven. Now, Jesus has shown us that by yoking ourselves to him and allowing him to lead us and guide us, then we can measure up to God's standards. You know, like I said before, when we get to heaven, when we stand there and you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you've repented of your sins through his blood, God sees Jesus. He doesn't see us, does he? Because Jesus has paid that sin debt for us. He has paid that impossible debt. He has carry that impossible load. It says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, by Jesus using the yoke as an example, there's work to be done, is it? Because the yoke is an instrument of work. They use that for plowing, and basically anything they needed to pull a plow or even the conveyors or anything else, it was an instrument of work. Now, while the work might not be easy at times, he will prove that the strength and guidance will come from him to see it through, will he not? He always gives that for. The easy part is this. It's the difference between doing something for Christ or doing something with Christ. You know, if we feel that we are called to do something, like you're calling to the ministry, if you tried to do it all on your own, where would you be? It would be hard, would it not? Any calling like that, we have to rely on the strength of God, because we can't do it on our own. Now, it took me a long way around the barn. It took me a long time before I could finally realize that when I felt God leading me to do something, I would be like, "Okay, God, I got it." And I would take off and I would work my tail off trying to accomplish this task for him. But I failed every time. The reason why I failed was because I was trying to outrun God. I wasn't waiting for him to prepare me, for him to open the doors, for him to make the way. I was doing it on my own and in my strength and in my power, separated from God, and that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to remain yoked to Jesus and let Jesus guide us. Let him show us the easier way. Let him share the load with us and basically train us in how to do it as well. So he will show us these things. Now think about this. Satan is going to love any chance he gets to pile on the heavy load that we place on ourselves. Does he not? We either put these loads on ourselves, or we let somebody else put these loads on us. And that's what we've got to be careful of. Like I said, if we will yoke ourselves to Jesus, just like that weaker animal or the younger animal, the older animal was teaching it. So through these experiences with Jesus, we should be able to carry heavier loads. It should get easier when we're pulling these loads because we know how to share these loads. Does that make sense? We're basically getting trained in the ways of be more like Christ. And if we can do that, then it will be easier. And also, Satan will have less opportunities to pile on, because we don't give him the door. We are focused on Christ. We are basically, you're trying to do what Jesus wants us to do. We're in the center of his will. We're prayed up, we're armored up, we're ready to go. that doesn't leave many cracks for Satan to attack us. He's going to try, but it does not leave any doors open for him. Philippians 4:13 says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, not some, not a few. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we wait on his power, wait on his guidance, we can do anything. You know, like I said, it said, be still and come to Jesus. That sounds like an oxymoron. It sounds like two polar opposites. But that's exactly what we have to do. To come to Jesus, we need to be still and we need to clear our minds. You know, a lot of times when we pray, do you guys sit there, because I'm guilty of it, a lot of times I'm trying to hurry up and get my prayer in. So I'm, God, I thank you, I praise you, and I need this, 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 and this. And then, amen, I'm gone. Well, where did I give God time to speak? I didn't, did I? So, you know, it's real aggravating when you're talking with someone, and we've all been there, when you're trying to have a conversation with someone, and you can't get a word in edgewise. Because you know, whatever you're saying, that person's not hearing you, because they're too busy on what they're trying to say. So, think about that when you're talking with God. You know, give God time to talk to you. You know, just sit there and be still. And just say, God, I give you this time, whether it's 30 seconds, a minute, or whatever, just try your best to clear your mind. Don't think about where you have to be or what you need to accomplish or get whatever. Just be still and watch what happens. Watch God speak to you, and I promise you, it will really change your prayer life. He says, take his yoke and learn. You know, if we will be submissive and give ourselves over and surrender to him, you know, he can do so much with us. He can teach us and give us the experience necessary to make life easier. It might be hard. We might be, you know, all these heavy loads put on us, but it will be easier, I promise. You know, he will show us and teach us the way. His yoke is easy and his burden is light if we share it with him. If we will share it with him, it's going to be lighter because he's going to do most of the work, I promise you. You know, excuse me, I think about all the major players in the Bible. You know, you look at the Moseses, Elijahs, Elisha, you know, Paul, Peter, you can go on and on and on. You know, these were major players in the Bible. God used them to do mighty things. But think about this, you know, all the things they accomplished and all all the disciples were killed other than one and what they went through, those burdens were probably not as impossible as we think they are because they were carrying them with Jesus. They had learned something that we probably haven't learned yet, is to train ourselves, surrender ourselves to being yoked with Christ. You know, and I really look at it from that perspective and I think, you know, maybe this was possible. You know, maybe it wasn't that impossible to do. I'll basically end up closing with this. This right here, what I said about the major players of the Bible, this is what God wants for us. He wants us to basically surrender ourselves and be submissive. He wants to basically be the one to provide the leadership and the guidance for us and to train us and teach us, because the Bible does tell us to be more like Christ. And the only way we can do that is to get out of the way and surrender ourselves to his basically authority. And if we will do that, we can do all these impossible tasks. The loads will be lightened. It will be a whole lot lighter than what we go through right now. I tell you, you know, I've gone through some pretty heavy things in my life, and if I look back now and I think, you know, how stupid was I trying to carry this alone, trying to do this by myself? There's no reason for that. You know, not only do we have the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ himself is wanting to help us get through this life, we have each other as well, do we not? We have an awesome body of Christ here that is willing to step up, pray, physically be there for one another. It takes us all to get through this life and to be what God wants us to be and to carry out his will that he wants for this church and for our lives. It's going to take us all being yoked together, but mainly being yoked to Christ to make it through. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity again. Lord, I thank you for every blessing that you've allowed us to have. Lord, I just pray that I've carried out your will today, Father, that I have spoken the words that you want heard. And I just pray that the hearts have been prepared to receive your message, Lord. I pray that if any of us need to ask ourselves, are we trying to go at it alone, or are we yoked to Christ and in the center of your will, right where we need to be? And if we're not, Father, then that's what we need to be working on. Lord, we can all just take a second look at ourselves and our spiritual lives and ask ourselves, Lord, am I where I need to be with you? And if not, then we need to do something about it. First of all, we need to surrender ourselves to your authority, and we need to repent of our sins, and we need to come back, obviously, to where you are. Lord, help us to be still and to come to you all in the same breath, Lord. Help us to accept that yoke of yours, that you will help us to carry that load and to teach us to be exactly what you want us to be, because you have a will for us. You have a purpose for us, and we just pray that we'd be prepared and ready to do that. Lord, I just pray that we would honor and glorify you in all that we do, and for these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're about to have an invitation, and I just pray that you would just ask yourself, are you where you need to be with God? If not, altar's open, or you can pray in your seat. You don't have to come to the altar, but I just pray that you would, you know, I guess be more serious. If you don't come to the altar, that's fine, but, you know, are we really, I guess, he says, come to me before men, and I won't be ashamed of you, or I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. That kind of scares me, you know. I worry that sometimes I do the things publicly I need to do. But come up here and pray. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same family. If you want to pray by yourself, come to this side. If you want to come and pray and be prayed over and prayed for, come over here, and we will definitely share each other's burdens. You don't have to tell what you're praying for. We will just pray anyway. God knows. Carry those burdens together, and let's try to be the light to this community that we need to be, because if the community sees us not willing to help each other out, then why are they going to come through those doors? Because if we're not willing to help each other out, we're not going to help them out. So let's take care of what we need to take care of today, and we'll leave it to God. Go ahead.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.